This week, one half of Emma's ground guard is here. Unfortunately for us, it's the wrong half. Welcome to Grassroots Plus for the last time this season, sponsored by Gusto Homes.
Gusto Homes have been innovating in the residential house building sector for over 25 years with a focus on building clean energy homes in sustainable communities. Tonight's guest, unfortunately, Mix kind of slip you a hospital pass, really, haven't you? It's the wrong half of Emma's ground guide. Good evening, Max. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I thought the introduction there was going to say for the last time ever, Max is on the podcast. But hopefully I'm not that bad and you will ask me back again. But yeah, thanks for having me on.
I hate to say this. I think Liam Kent at Ollerton Town has offered 200 quid sponsorship if you don't come back on.
Yeah, well, it's me catching him back up with appearances, so you need to invite me on again so I can be level with him.
There's only one place really that we can start, albeit last one of the season, and it's absolutely got nothing to do with football whatsoever. But yeah, if you're involved in football in any way, shape or form, you surely get married in June or July, don't you? No, you don't. Particularly when you're under the thumb a little bit. So we've got to say congratulations to Max and Emma because they are getting married later on this year.
Yeah, congratulations, Max. So you do realise there's a website going up, don't you? And it's called The Good Wedding Guide. And they'll be coming to your wedding. They'll be voting it on the, you know, the wedding dress, on the music at the gig afterwards, and on the catering. So you've got a lot to answer for, so make sure there's plenty of dark fruits at that one.
And I'm certainly coming along to see how far the church is from the railway station.
Well, that's the thing. Unfortunately, yes, it's a Saturday in October, but anyone coming to the night, don't worry, it's a 7 o'clock start, so you'll be able to go to Collingham or Newark and Sherwood before and come to the wedding after it's finished.
Well, does it say on the invite, kick off 7 p.m?
It's absolutely brilliant news, mate, and our congratulations to both of you. Brand new house, getting married, life couldn't be better for you both. Well done to both of you. Right, let's start with Dave's last roundup from the last 7 days of football.
Loughborough students scored four times in the opening 15 minutes as they joined Sherwood Colliery in next season's Step 4. In the South Division, Racing Club Warwick go up after overcoming Elston Park. Fifth place Albion will play third place Garforth in the Northern Counties East League playoff final, while in the Midland League, it's down to Lichfield City or Darlston Town for Step 4.
In Mr. Pickerel's homeland, third place Shaftesbury join Moneyfields in stepping up. Moneyfields, you've told us all about, David. Shaftesbury.
I've been there twice, but as you'd expect, they're to the north of the sort of Wessex League area. Decent side. I think I've seen Bashley beat them, but I don't think it's one of those games that you take as a, especially this day and age, you take as a gimme.
Okay. Right, into Step 6.
Newark Town had a late scare before overcoming Dunkirk, while things got ugly as Harrowby beat a Clipston side that finished 23 points above them in the league.
One of you went to watch Newark Town, the other of you went to the Harrowby match. So we'll start with Max. Newark Town against Dunkirk match. Max, tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so it was an interesting game. It was a good crowd, over 500 there, which is obviously great to see. People supporting the club in the town. It was a weird first half because I'd say Dunkirk sort of controlled it and looked the better side, but without ever really threatening the goal. And then Newark got two goals on the counter-attack sort of and went into half-time 2-0 up. And then they got a third goal going early on in the second half and you thought, right, that's game over. Newark are in the final. Let's see who they're playing. But then, yeah, Dunkirk came back into it, got the two goals. There's about 15 minutes where it was 3-2 and you're thinking, here we go, they might throw it away here. The goalkeeper probably should have been sent off. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will have seen the post. Dunkirk put a video up of it. The Newark keeper comes flying out of his goal. The striker wins the ball. Keeper clatters into the player. Linesman flags for a free kick to Dunkirk, which would then mean the keeper should be sent off. The referee decides to not listen to his linesman and give a free kick to Newark. which, even with Newark tinted glasses from the sideline from me, was a very strange decision, to say the least. So, yeah, with 10 minutes, with 10 men, only one goal up, it would have been a really interesting end to the game. But as it was, they managed to keep 11 on the pitch and hold on to get through. Yeah, it was a good game. I'm obviously, again, like I say, as from a new perspective, I'm glad they've got through. And yeah, let's see how they do in the final at home again. So should be another big crowd. No matter what happens, it'll be a good payday for the club. And I quite like Harrowby as well. So whoever wins, I'm not really too fussed. It should be a good game.
You saw a game of football. Unfortunately, David saw the ugly side of football.
Well, I did see some football as well, actually. Everybody, I think, was expecting Clipston to absolutely walk over this one. I mean, they finished 23 points higher than Harrowby. However, Harrowby played out of the skins. Elliot King had a particularly good game. First 10 minutes, I think Clipston hit the post, and it was all one way. And I thought, this is going to be quite an embarrassing score. And then suddenly Harrowby clicked, and it was all one way traffic in the other way. Unfortunately, at half time, there was a couple of instances of smoke flares being thrown at Harrowby players warming up on the pitch. Second half, a Harrowby supporter was asked to move to the opposite half of the pitch to which the linesman was running. He wasn't too impressed with the linesman's ability. I suspect the fact he was asked to move the other side of the halfway line, he wasn't actually being offensive. He didn't say anything out of order other than something along the lines of, "Lino, you're not very good," I think, and kept it up. And then on the other side, the game stopped for some time. It got a bit feisty on the pitch, a bit of fisticuffs almost. And it looked like a couple of spectators were asked to leave. I was on the opposite side, but it did look like there was some liquid thrown at some of the Harrowby players. And then I got the impression it was thrown into the dugout as well. So they were asked to leave. Another sending off in that game. Goalkeeper for Clipston came out, took the Harrowby player out. He took one for the team, really. Took his marching orders. The guy that went in goal couldn't do anything about the penalty. But then if you watch the highlights, he pulled off four reaction saves in a very, very active goalmouth scramble and then tipped one round the post in one of the best reflex saves I've ever seen any goalkeeper make, let alone game ended 4-1. Bit of a shock, but fair play to Harrowby. They did on the day what they needed to do and they did it very well.
I know a lot of people love playoffs. I've never been a great fan of playoffs in any standard of football. They unfortunately seem to bring the worst out in the supporters. And I think I really honestly do think it's people that's probably seen one or two games all season that turn up to these and that are causing the trouble. It's not the diehards that are there week in, week out. And we see it time and time again, especially in these games that warrant the big crowds. Right, a quick look at the feeder leagues.
Appleby Frodingham have achieved a top five finish in the Lynx League and they've passed the ground grading. Unless the FA in their wisdom promotes Crowe Colts, whose ground won't pass the grading until at least July, then Frod will be promoted to Northern Counties East League One. Pinkston going to the final match at Holbrook, knowing a victory assures promotion to the UCL Division One. Moulton Harrocks require 4 points from their remaining three matches to clinch the Peterborough title.
I mean, we do say that Pinkston were going to the UCL One and Frodingham were going. This is our workings out. And
yes,
you know, it could be something completely different, but they both will go into the pyramid. Let's put it like that. Right. A recap, really, on Cornish Corner.
Yes, last week's guest got his wish as Mousel reached the playoffs by scoring seven goals while their rivals floundered. And that gives Mick Bradley the crap joke of the month award.
No, I'm not. They actually went to Froome Town on Wednesday night for the playoff and got stuff 3-0.
Yes, they did. So,
hey ho!
What an adventure. They beginning of the season, you'd have taken it, wouldn't you?
You most certainly would. This is Grassroots Plus with Max, Dave, and Mick. It's different show tonight because we're just really talking about what might happen and what will happen and what we think has happened. So in the not senior league, we know that
Stapleford win the league and they will be promoted. Blidith and Curtin have both had good seasons as well. So
I'm going to leave this to the two of you now. I've not seen any one of those three teams. I know of them, of course. Stapleford, I think, play at Radford, don't they?
They do. They've got a ground share there, and it looks like that's secure for next season. Radford's a neat setup. Stapleford can get the same atmosphere in there as Radford do. It'll certainly be intimidating at the next step. Blidith, I know you've been to that ground, Max. That's a great little setup there. And I think you've been to Curtin as well. So they're all in, well worthy of a visit.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't actually been to Curtin. It's one that I've been looking to get to this season, especially with them doing so well, but never actually got around to it. Blidith, it's good to see them sort of coming back, because obviously they were step six. It all seemed to go a bit wrong for them and they had to resign and play with their reserve team. So they're getting back now. They're obviously back into step seven. They're almost back to where they were, which is good to see. Stapleford, they pretty much, didn't they win the league last season, but they weren't ready because they didn't have a ground or a ground share. So they couldn't go up. So that's when Southwell went. No, who went up last season in their place? Or did no one go up from the not senior league? I can't remember.
San Diego,
that's the one. Yeah, so because San Diego came third and went up because Keyworth and Stapleford, who battled for the title, both didn't apply. So obviously, yeah, two seasons in a row winning the league. I haven't seen them this season, but last season they were brilliant and I think they scored six in the game I saw them. So yeah, they're definitely, yeah, two seasons in a row winning the league. You can't begrudge them getting promotion. And yeah, another ground near us going into the pyramid for us to visit.
Excellent. Right, in the Lincolnshire Football League, and this is a ground that you ought to get yourself to. David?
Yeah, Nettleham win the league for the first time and Crowe Colts look like finishing runners-up. I've been to both. Nettleham have been a strange side over the seasons. You never know quite what's going to happen when you go there. You'll see them one week, expect them to roll over the bottom team and they seem to struggle. Then the following week, they go to the leaders and absolutely steamroller them. This year, they seem to have got everything has clicked, come together, and they've had a very, very good season.
Max, Nettleham's ground, lovely ground. They've got a stand there and everything, but it has got its limitations. It's owned by the council. It hasn't got a perimeter fencing on two, probably three sides of it because it is shared with a cricket pitch. And the dressing rooms are, in the FA's eyes, too far away from the pitch. The council are not willing to spend the money to bring it up to what is required, nor are the club, because the club are saying that they are a club from adult football down to five-year-olds playing football, and the money is shared out equally and not just put into one side. So the Lincolnshire Football League, at least in the foreseeable future, is Nettleham's limit. Is that sensible, do you think? Oh, and they can't afford to pay players.
I mean, it is a shame because, I mean, they've only lost about two games all season. So if that group stick together, they're going to walk that league for seasons to come, surely, and that sort of makes the league a little bit, I don't know what the word is, but if one team's just going to win every game but never leave, then it just becomes boring. No one else can win it, no one else has a chance. I mean, there's a few teams in that league that, because only two applied to, it's a bit like the not senior league in a way. Now Stapleford's gone, there's possibly only going to be Collingham that are going to apply for promotion next season. So it sort of makes the league slightly pointless, where you look at the Lincolnshire League and after we're frauding them, we're going to finish fourth or fifth, but they're going to win promotion just because no one else is going for it, which seems a bit of a strange way of doing it when you've lost 10, 15 games. You finish, it's a bit like the playoffs where you finish 30 points below someone, but you get promoted just because you're the only one that wants to. So I mean, there are a lot of clubs where step seven is the limitation. You look again at the not senior league, you've got teams like Woolerton that are always up there but are never going to apply for promotion because they want to remain as a local team, which I can see why. You look at teams like Ollerton, you're saying that Nettleham don't have the money to pay players, look what happens when you go into step six and can't pay players. It's not fun for anyone. So
back to my original question then. For certain clubs, probably step seven is the limit if they want to live within their means.
Yeah, and it's like I know you mentioned before the jump from step four to step five, or step five to step four being a huge jump. And I'd say step seven to step six is similar in yeah, that's where, I mean, there's a lot of clubs at step seven that have budgets now, but it's the one league where without one you can still compete and probably come at least mid-table. Whereas, yeah, as soon as you get into step six, you really are going to have to work wonders if you've got no budget.
And we'll talk about that one a little bit later on, because I think that's going to be a recurring theme. But next on our alts, one more. In the Bosleman district, two cups in the cabinet already for top of the table. Spilsby, they're going to win the league by a country mile. This is the team that the Lincolnshire Football League didn't accept last season, and they accepted Laughton reserves instead. I don't think the Lincolnshire Football League did themselves any favours last season, or the Boston and District League, or Spilsby Town. Let's just see what happens this summer if Spilsby apply again to go into it. Can they turn them down two seasons running? Right, as the season comes to an end, the question doing the rounds is, in non-league, what is the one thing that you would change for next season? Well, I jump in there first because I do. And all I would do is sort out the farce that is promotion and relegation. I understand it's not simplest of jobs, but, you know, one up through the playoffs, end of conversation, playoff winner, two go down. If anything changes, tell the clubs what they intend doing. The clubs that's finishing bottom of step six at the moment, and to an extent step five, because there could be some reprieves, do not know if they what standard of football they're going to be playing next season. They really don't. Who's going up from step six to step five? Obviously the champions, that's cut and dried. We don't know. Will it be the playoff winners plus the losing playoff finalists? If that's the case in the UCL, I'd feel aggrieved if I was Clipston and finished X amount of points in front of everybody else and don't get a look in, but they didn't win the playoffs. Just tell us what's going off. Don't make the clubs wait and wait and wait, because they need to organise themselves. They need to know what the budget is. They need to spend the money. That's me, Max.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with anything you've said there. It's completely ridiculous that this happens every single season where, yeah, the season's now finished. And if you finish second bottom in a league, you're not sure if what league you're going to be in. Are you safe? Are you not? Some teams finish bottom with about 6 points and they might get reprieved. Do they want to be reprieved? Who's going to get promoted? Who's going to get relegated? Imagine in the Premier League at this point in the season when you'd look at, well, are two going to go down? Are three going to go down?
Yeah.
Everyone knows at the start of the season, you know what's going to happen. You know where you need to be. If you don't get there, then you get relegated, or you don't get promoted or whatever. If you don't do enough, then you're down. And that should, and I feel like as well with reprieves, like I think you've mentioned before that the FA don't want to give reprieves, which I think is the right thing to do. You shouldn't finish bottom of the league, second bottom of the league, and then be able to, like, the whole point of football is there should be consequences, and that's what makes it so great, is that any team can go up and down depending how they do in one particular season. So I don't think reprieves is the right option. It should be extra teams promoted, because if you've done well for a season, you should be rewarded, not rewarded for doing terribly and you just the luck of the draw. But yeah, they should come out when the leagues come out in July or whenever, June, whenever they come out with them. Here's the leagues. These teams are in there. That team's in there. At this level, two go up, one through the playoffs, two go down. Everyone knows where they are. Everyone knows what they've got to do. But yeah, the season's finished. And when are we going to know? How are we going to know? And yeah. If you're a team like Hucknall that's come second bottom on goal difference, what are they going to do? How much budget are they going to need to do? Because are they going to be step six? Are they going to be step five? They're going to be behind everyone else because they don't know what league they're in yet.
Yeah, and this is where I think it's totally wrong. David, any opinions on that one?
I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I was looking at the Clipston situation. If you look at the step one a few seasons ago, Wrexham went up, was at 104 points. Notts County had to go through the playoffs on 102. It almost ought to be some suggestion if you're promoting three and the top three are something like 20 points ahead, promote them. Whereas if there's only a 5 or 6 point gap, maybe go into the playoffs at that point. My main gripe would be, we know what the FA think about replays in the later stages of the FA Cup, but in the other competitions, penalties after 90 minutes in a single leg. What's wrong with 30 minutes extra time on top and then do penalties? You know, if, particularly if you've travelled a fair way for that game, you know, sort of, I don't know, you've gone to South Liverpool for Lincoln. All right, they won the penalty shootout. But to only get 90 minutes at it, I don't know. I'd have said give them you know, 15 minutes each way extra time and then penalties maybe.
I think the sensible option with all the FA competitions, I think they already do it with the FA Trophy, is you go into the game, you get the draw, and you ask both clubs, do you want a replay? And if they both say no, then they do it in the 90 minutes, like you say, plus extra time and penalties, whatever it needs to be done on the night. If one team wants a replay, then you play for a replay if it's a draw. That's the way it should be done. So if two Premier League teams are playing each other and they're playing too many matches that week, that month, because they've played three matches in a month, then, yeah, they can both say, no, we don't want a replay, and then there is no replay. But then if Newark Town draw Manchester City and they want to have a replay, then it happens because both teams haven't agreed. I think that should surely be the way forward because, like you say, at the moment, they're doing replays in the early rounds, which is when teams aren't making money from them and it's a lot of travelling for teams that don't really want to do it. And then as soon as it gets to the point where the replays are actually lucrative for the clubs, they're pulling them away. It's the opposite of what it should be.
It's that actually sounds very simple, very doable.
It'll never catch on.
No, it never catch on. It never catch on, but it's the best idea I've heard so far. Right, here's where the guest has to do some work. We're going to go through and how our local clubs have got on this season, and I do appreciate it. We're almost doing it 1 week too early, but it's not our fault that the it's all running a little bit later than what the FA thought it was going to do. And two, Mr. Pickerel's got to go down to his summer season on his yacht. So it means we can't do another show after this one. Right. So, Max, how did our Step 6 sides get on? What do you think? What I really want to know is what sort of season do you think they have had? Newark Town, Narrabee United, Southall City, Rendon Minus, Welfare and Clipston. Go.
So we'll start with Newark Town, seeing as we've talked about them already. Second year in a row in the playoffs. I don't think they can grumble at that. Bourne have absolutely run away with that league. Nobody had any chance of catching them. Clipston have pretty much done similar. So to avoid them in the playoffs, they've done pretty well. I think they would have aimed for the playoffs at the start of the season. So to get there, the crowds are up. People are supporting them. The ground has improved in the last year or so with the new stands. I'd say it's a pretty positive time at Newark Town at the moment. Whether they go up or not, I think that the hype's sort of there. You mentioned about the playoffs being maybe a negative with the wrong type of crowd turning up to games, but to get 500 at a game last week, they might get 600-700 this weekend.
It's just, as long as everybody behaves themselves, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. That's the thing.
It does attract what I would call non-football supporters jumping on bandwagons.
Yeah, that's the thing. That there is obviously that aspect of it, but also of the 700 that might turn up next week, they might get another 50 that go and watch them all next season because they've enjoyed what they've seen. So again, another positive, people through the gate. Obviously we're a week too early to see if the season has been an ultimate success for them. But yeah, I don't think anyone could grumble at a fourth place, third place finish, it was, wasn't it?
Okay, so Newark Town's had the the season, I think pretty much people was expecting one, so we can give them a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd agree with that one. So, on to Harrogate. Yeah, so obviously, once again, they're also in the final. So, again, whether the season's been a 10 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10 will decide on Saturday. But again, they had a good end to last season. They've sort of carried that on. They've got in. I'm not sure what their aim would have been for the season, but again, getting into the playoffs, they were the last team to get in on the final day. So there, and then to go and beat Clipston, make it to the finals, got to be a positive for them. And once again, either way, whether they go up or not, you can't grumble at a top six finish. And yeah, the big games at the end of the season, that's what everyone does it for. So yeah, good luck to them as well.
I think they would have been, like Newark, whatever happens on Saturday, it's been a good season for them and there is progression. Like Newark, they've improved the ground. So it's two clubs actually running side by side to an extent, isn't it?
Yeah, and whatever happens in the cup final, there's going to be a nice Harrowby derby next season. There, it's either going to be Newark v Newark or Harrowby versus Newark and Sherwood, who'll be playing at Harrowby.
One way or another. Right, now it gets a bit trickier for you. Southall City.
So, in my head, they've probably done about as well as I expected. They've done very similar to what they did last season. They've stayed just about above the treble all season. Whenever they've been on a bad run and looked like they're going to get sucked in, they've gone and won a game and jumped back ahead. But looking at their social media towards the end of the season, they seem really disappointed with how they've done. And I'm not really sure what they were hoping for, because talking about budgets, they've probably got the smallest one. If not, they're in the bottom three or four in the division. So as an outsider looking in, I'd say they're about where I expected them to be. But yeah, looking at how they seem to have judged it, they don't think they've done that well, I don't think.
Actually, I would totally agree with you. Again, that's the third time on the bounce. This has got to stop. David, I think, in my own little mind, that Southall have basically reached the limit of what we can expect from them if they keep the philosophy that they've got. And it's to be commended by all means, having local lads, not paying silly money. And it's a club that they want to build players from juniors right through to seniors. Everything in that is wonderfully commendable, but it won't win you pyramid football.
No, I think they finished 7 above relegation this season. As Max says, the social media suggested they were disappointed. When we spoke to John, before they went into the pyramid, they wanted to play pyramid football and they wanted to be competitive. But I think they kind of knew that that would probably be their level. I think they'd probably like to finish in the top half of the table. They've had some strange games this season, haven't they? There's some very good clubs in that division. You've only got to look at sort of the top six, whatever. They seem to have tripped up a few times when they've played some of the teams that ought to have been the givens. You know, the teams that they've been, I mean, all right, nobody would have thought that Selston would have turned it around. Selston were nailed on with the concrete block round the neck only about 8 weeks ago. Selston have finished, 44 points in 14th. I think they will be a little disappointed with the way the season's gone, but in the overall project of getting away from going to Brinkley or get away from Bishop's Drive, establishing, say, multiple teams, a community asset, I think they're still on target. I think maybe they've not quite gone they've not quite got the top speed yet.
Yeah, I think to sort of establish themselves as a step six club over two seasons in a row, obviously you hear the expression the Premier League second season syndrome. They haven't had that. They've been pretty much exactly how they were. They had the Groundhog Day, which got some good crowds in. They're improving the ground slowly. Again, I'd say this is what you'd probably expect. And maybe next season they'll go for top half. And that's exactly what a club like them should be doing.
I'm not knocking them in any way, shape or form, because it's how I would like a club that I was connected to be. not sort of orientated by money, but unfortunately in today's pyramid football, it won't win you that league. But what do you want out of football? Right, Renouf and Clifton, we've kept an eye on both our old two coal mining friends from the Notts Alliance days, or my old two coal mining friends from the Notts Alliance days. And at one stage, Max, it looked like Renouf was going to drop out of pyramid football, and that would be just unthinkable.
Yeah, I mean, they had an awful start to the season. And later on, when we do go for our awards, I've added my own category at the end. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, he comes here once a year, takes over.
So he's like Father Christmas, isn't he?
So I've gone for most improved team, and Renouf make one of them. The fact that, like you said, them and Selston were both out of it, really. Selston were looking at back-to-back relegations. Renouf were looking at dropping out the pyramid, and they've both turned it around, and they're probably in the top five form teams of the league as it comes to an end. So they're probably, they're both be disappointed with how they started the season, but yeah, to finish it the way they have, it can only be a positive.
It can, and I, you know, many battles against Renouf in times watching the old Simos, but you wouldn't certainly want to see the demise of them. And Clifton, the only club that gave Bourne a run for the money, the only club that kept anywhere even remotely close to Bourne, and you would assume they're ending up with absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's a funny one. They'll probably be the happiest team, but then also the saddest team, because they've probably outperformed any of their expectations by doing so well and getting so many points, and they were up there all season. They've basically been second since September and haven't moved. So they'll be amazed at how well they've done, and they've obviously improved. A couple of years ago, they were looking at, I think they were reprieved in the Northern Counties League to stop dropping into step seven. To go from that to, and yeah, if Bourne weren't in the league, they'd have won it. So they'll be amazed by that. But at the same time, to then lose in a one-off playoff game and it's all for nothing, they're going to have to rebuild and do it all again, aren't they, next season?
They are, and it's a question of keeping the players that they've got as well. Right, up north, in the Northern Counties East League, Ollerton, Retford United, Retford FC and Shirebrook. I know you've got a soft spot for Ollerton, Max, so you can do Ollerton, because I know Dave has got a soft spot for Retford United and Shirebrook, so we can do them too. Right, Ollerton Town.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say anything that's not already been said. For them, I mean, obviously, it's been a massive struggle. I was way good friends with Liam, and he's took on the club, kept them going. If it wasn't for him, there would be no Ollerton Town FC. Off the pitch and in the background, they've set up the youth teams. They're trying to build, like you say, a sort of Southwell type, bring the players through, get local people in the club, get more support, get yourself in the community, which again is commendable. That's what it should be all about. But you can't hide from the fact that they've had 4 points all season. So it has been a struggle. Once again, we go back to budgets in that Northern Counties League and the clubs that Dave's about to bring up. I don't even want to think about how much some of them are spending. The budgets on single players will probably keep Ollerton going for a whole year. So it's just one of them. They're too. You just can't compete in that league with no budget. They've tried two different managers, completely different squads, and they've both had exactly the same outcome. So a drop down to step seven will hopefully do them a lot of good. They'll get some better results, and it'll be interesting to see how they do. And I think they'll be glad. It also depends what league they go into. I'm not sure what they'd prefer, whether it would be Notts Senior League or Central Midlands, but Central Midlands has got some clubs with big budgets in as well, so it's not going to be easy.
I think if I was Liam, I would be lobbying for the Notts Senior League, to be honest. It can always change, but for next season, I think the Notts Senior League. But we will see. We'll talk about that one a little bit later on. Go on then, David. Retford United and Shirebrook, two of your favourite clubs.
Well, it's because they throw a lot of money at it. They both see themselves as probably bigger than the leagues they're in, or that's the impression you get when you go there. They've both finished near the top. I mean, we saw Shirebrook earlier in the season. What was it? Pleased to announce a record transfer fee for Step Six. Okay, you're still in the playoffs. You've got to play Wakefield. All right, you've got the home draw against someone on Saturday afternoon at Parkgate. I saw Wakefield a couple of weeks ago at Ollerton, put seven past Ollerton without even trying, to be honest with you. Looked a very, very fast side. Retford United have got Beverley Town. Beverley Town have snuck up, haven't they? That's not an easy game either. And again, I think they've thrown the kitchen sink at it as well. So I think they will both be disappointed. Retford United, to be fair, though, have sort of come up to that level in the last couple of seasons, but they've got previous of being at Step Six. I don't know. You've got to hope that they win out, haven't you? Otherwise, they will be the butt of quite a few of the other clubs around them's jokes, as we've seen before, when comments have been made on social media, a little bit uncharitable towards a lesser club, and then it always comes back to bite you on the backside.
It does. And Retford SC, which is a club that I know you actually do quite like.
Yeah, they finished.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, you do, because there's a railway line alongside. So if you want to get in mixed good books, build a railway line and put some trains on it. But mid-table obscurity again. I think they've probably found their level. They seem to enjoy that. You talk to other teams that have been there, the supporters. Oh, yeah, we had a great day at Retford FC. I have to say, having spoken to some of the lads from Wakefield, they were less than happy about some of the less than complimentary, shall we say, about the other two clubs I've just mentioned. And I think that comes across. Yeah, there isn't much else I can say on that. Retford FC have established themselves as a decent Step Six club over the last five or six seasons.
They have. Right. So you're listening to Grassroots Plus, proudly sponsored by Gusto Homes. And this is the bit that we've been lobbying for weeks now. It's the end of season awards. Now, We've tried to do it properly. David's banned me from getting involved because he reckons I would be biased towards some one team or the other. I cannot understand that one. Team of the season is obviously Lizard Argyle. But so I've been banned from any input whatsoever. So it is above board. It is taken on the votes that has been received through social media. He's done it. He's done it properly, which is why he wouldn't let me do it. So, the best food served at a non-league football ground is?
Well, I've got third place. I've got three places for each one. Third place.
I ain't got a drum roll, you know.
No, that's all right. In third place, it's Gainsborough Trinity's cheesy chips. Somebody recommended that, and immediately there was a sudden flurry from people that had been there. Second prize goes to Selston for their pie and mash. I can say I've had the pie and mash at Selston. It's very good. But the winners, as we thought they would be, and loads of other clubs came up with this, the handmade Pete's handmade pork pies at Melton Town won that by quite a landslide, shall we say. And we've both sampled those, haven't we?
Yes, and I know you're very partial to them. So Melton Town and their pork pies, and fantastic news that they are back at their own ground next season. Max, have you been to Melton Town's proper ground?
Back when they were at Step Six. They were one of the first grounds we visited for the blog, and they're probably the one we need to update the most because obviously the ground has completely changed.
It has. You need to go there. It's what you know. What I think about plastic pitches. That is what. If you're having a plastic pitch, go to Melton Town and have a look at theirs. You can see how they've done it. Right, the underachievers in the season award. Now, we're obviously going to upset somebody in this one, but this is what you guys out there think are the underachievers of the season.
Well, we actually have joint second place, Newark and Sherwood United and Sleaford Town. But by at least 12 votes, the team that were voted the biggest underachievers, and it's quite a surprise, was Eastwood Town. And a lot of people stated at the beginning of the season, Benfica, lots of rumours. You don't know whether the rumours are true of money having been spent on players, player budgets. And that surprised me, actually, because I we know a lot of people would go for Newark and Sherwood saying, well, you won the cup last season. Sleaford, I expected them to have probably got promotion this year, but yeah, Eastwood came out of the blue for me. I wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah, I've got two written down for this one, and Eastwood are one of them. Obviously, yeah, going into the season, there was big things coming out of the club. They were looking to win the title, really, and to finish in the end mid-table, well off the playoffs. Yeah, Sleaford, I was going to mention them, but then looking at the league table earlier today, they're actually only one place out of the playoffs, so they haven't quite done as badly as I thought they had. Again, they haven't quite lived up to expectations. They'd have been probably looking for playoffs and haven't quite made it, but they weren't too far off. The other club I've brought that's a bit of a wild card one is West Bridgeford. They had a brilliant start to the season and were up in mid-table, and I don't think they've won since about November, and they've ended up third bottom, and they're lucky that not three are going down like it originally maybe was thought.
Else they would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
That's a good call, West Bridgeford. Right, so, but the award goes to Eastwood. Right, the goal of the season, and you had quite a few for this, didn't you, Dave? Which I thought this might be hard work, people sending stuff in, but...
I did. In third place was Toby White for Newark and Sherwood United against Hucknall Town. Then in second place, which got about 15 more votes, Tyler Smith for Newark Town against Lutterworth Athletic. I think it's Lutterworth, actually, not Lutterworth Athletic. But the winner, by another 23 votes, was Dan Flack for Bourne Town against Holwell Sports.
Right. Well, there we go.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? I think you know which teams quite often Bourne are quite active on social media.
Well,
you know, they put stuff out and lots of people follow up. So it was kind of expected, but they're all good goals. I saw videos of them all, and they were all worthy. All worthy goals of being mentioned.
So they all get mentioned. So the three players, again, forget the clubs, the three players are...
Toby White, Tyler Smith from Newark Town, and Dan Flack, Bourne Town.
Well done to those three guys. Team of the season isn't going to be our last one, but we've got a late entry, apparently.
Yeah.
The Emma's Ground Guide Award of the Season for...
Most improved side throughout this season.
Okay, I'll give you that one. Yeah, right.
So I've gone with four. I mean, they're not in any particular order.
No, whoa. If you're going to come up with an award, you're also going to give us a winner.
Okay, fine. So I'll go with the three other ones. I've gone with Selston and Renner, who we've already mentioned, both having awful starts to the season and turned it round just in time to stay up. Honourable mention to your lot, Newark and Sherwood. They've had a poor season, but since the management change, was it 9 or 10 unbeaten in a row to end the season, pretty much? So, yeah, they've turned it around, and hopefully we'll be able to bring that into next season. But, yeah, I'd say the winner is going to be mine, goes to Keyworth United. So, the end of last season, the manager left, and it all was a bit of a fallout because they ended up not applying for promotion. It was a big bust up in the club. All of the players and the management left and all went to West Bridgeford, which was why they had a good start to the season. Keyworth ended up with no players. Their reserve team that had just won the Notts Division 2 came in to be the first team. And yeah, I think after about 10 games, they were bottom of the league with hardly any points. Not sure what's changed, but yeah, second half of the season, they've been really good and have ended up mid-table, just about in the top half, I think. So yeah, to go from looking like they were going to get relegated and it was going to be a bit embarrassing, they've ended the season well and they're playing a cup final right now against Wollaton. So not sure what the score is, but yeah, to get to a cup final and to do well in the season after basically having no players. A big improvement and, yeah, good for them.
Excellent. So the Emma's Ground Guide Award for the most improved team of the year to go onto our list are Keyworth United. And that leaves the big one, the one that's going to cause the most moaning and grumbling because everybody thinks they're going to be right on this one. It's the team of the season. Now, I don't care what anybody says, it's not about winning. If that was the case, it was Farnham Town would have won the team of the season. It's as simple as that, because they've gone through the team as the only grassroots team undefeated. There is more to it than that. David, explain.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of nominations came in here. Gav Rice tried to hijack it with he'd like a mention for match day officials who just get on and do it every week. Very much.
I've got a lot of time. Okay, part of the country it comes from and all that, but I've got a lot of time for him, and I do agree with him. And in grassroots football, yeah, well done, guys, because I think there's only a couple of times this season that we've come away saying, in our opinion, the officials ruined that football match. Every other time, I think they've tried the best, they've done a good job, and they're to be commended. And it's the same when you go out of the pyramid and one man or one lady has to turn up on their own. Didn't do it. And they've got to have some guts to do that. So, Gav, I totally agree with you, as long as you're not talking about the referees in the Premier Division.
Well, there were some honourable mentions came from actually supporters of other clubs who were there or thereabouts. Parkgate, Quorn and Needham Market all got mentioned by supporters of others. In third place, and again, supporters of other clubs put this team forward, Tamworth, back-to-back promotions. As one of the supporters, I think it was from the Yelts, as Owen just said, they just got on and won games quietly. Just got on and did it. So very, very good luck to them. That's third place. Second place, a lot of votes and love came in for Carlton Town. After last season, when they looked like they were probably going through the trapdoor, they missed out by a 2-0 defeat, was it, on Tuesday night? Went all the way to Stockton in a playoff game. And I think they can be justifiably proud of that. They've built on the disappointment of just escaping relegation last season, losing the cup final to Newark and Sherwood, and they've just gone into it. But as you thought might be the case, by a huge landslide, team of the season are Ollerton Town on and off the field, to be honest, as a whole entity. What else can you say? They've turned up every week. They've welcomed visitors to the ground. They've just got on and they've played games. None of this sort of, oh, we'll stuff this for a game of soldiers after Christmas. Do you know, we're going to fold and we'll just go into step seven next season or whatever. They have conducted themselves, I think, with dignity every week.
As I said at the start, I kept out of this and I didn't have a vote, but if I did have a vote, it would have been either to Ollerton Town or Sturminster Marshall, the team that we've been following down in Dorset, because they don't call games off because they're struggling. They find the players, they sign them on, they do it properly, they do it with a smile, there's no griping on social media or anything like that. Everybody knows they're in the wrong league. There's a club that's got very, very little money and they're having to travel to Wakefield in the middle of the week and places like that. To me, they epitomise what grassroots football is all about. And I think also, Max, you'll be well impressed and well pleased that that club of team have won it.
Yeah, definitely. Again, obviously I mentioned earlier, very similar. They're doing the best they can with what they've got. And yeah, they've done it the right way. They haven't applied for voluntary relegation. They haven't given up halfway through the season. They know they're not good enough, but they've played the season out. They've done it with a sense of humour. And yeah, they've played all their matches. They've switched games when they've had to. They've had problems with everything. The floodlights have broken when they were winning a game. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong and more. But yeah, fair play to Liam and everyone that's behind the scenes there. They've done the best they can with as close to zero money as they can. And like I said earlier, let's hope next season's a little more positive for them because they deserve it.
Yeah, they really do. So well done. Well done to all our winners there and finalists. Because he won't let me get involved in that one, he's let me get involved in this one, and we can have the final three in what we've called Mix Muppets of the Season. David, if you would wish to do your in third, in second, in first bit, I can tell you why I've picked him. Then there's only people that can get into trouble.
Okay, in third place,
the PGMOL for consistently defending the indefensible, and that is their own officials. Absolutely shocking, as we see week in, week out. It's just killing. VAR is not killing football. Those officials and the incompetence of those officials are killing football.
In second place?
That goes to the Notts FA for the second year running. Just ask them to listen to this lot. The Staffordshire Senior Cup final is at Stoke City. The Derbyshire one was at Pride Park. The Lincolnshire one at Lincoln City. The Norfolk one at Carrow Road. The Suffolk one, that was at Portman Road. And it goes on and on and on. The Northumberland one, the best football ground in the world, St James Park. There's a Step 6 club in the Northumberland Senior Cup final, David. Lifetime. And they are playing at St James Park. How good is that?
You'll always remember it because you're never going to go there again unless you're a one in a million player.
Where's the Notts final? Eastwood Town again. And there are three league clubs in Nottinghamshire. It's scandalous. It's shocking. And if the Notts FA are unwilling to do something about it, total, absolute shame on them. Max, I know you think exactly the same way on this one.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. Especially this season. Obviously, last season, there was the excuse of it was supposed to be at Notts County and then they had a playoff game. Notts County and Mansfield are both not in the playoffs. They've got no more games to play. The season's over for them. The pitch is empty. Surely you can get it played at one of their grounds. The final is between a Nottingham Forest Academy team, which will be well supported if you put it at the right venue. Basford, who are a City of Nottingham club, play it at Notts County, surely. It's in the middle of them both. It's in the middle of the city. Forest might bring 5,000 fans for that and fill the ground. But no, they're playing at Eastwood. You've got a Step 3 club against a Premier League academy and you're playing at a Step 5 ground.
It's a scandal.
We went to the Lincolnshire final at Scunthorpe against Spalding. A great game. Scunthorpe brought a load of fans, put them behind the goal. Spalding got the chance to play at Lincoln City, which they would never normally get to do. It's a day out for everyone. It's a day out for the players. It's a day out for the clubs. It's a day for the local FA to celebrate non-league football in their area and show off one of the major grounds in their area. And I don't know why the Notts FA don't want to do it.
No, I don't. They either can't be bothered or they don't want to fork out any money. Right, the winner is, and it's a serious winner, David. The winner is the keyboard warriors that think it's acceptable to troll people on social media. Sport, and I mean any sport, is all about supporting an individual or the team of your choice. And it's not about people trying to bully you for just doing that. And this is the downside of social media, which is a brilliant outlet. It lets us all know exactly what's going on. But the people that hide behind these pseudonyms and try their best to make a life a misery for people that don't support the team that they think they should be supporting or don't do it their way or have an opinion, I think is shocking. It's a poor indictment on society. It's a poor indictment on the individuals and the clubs that don't seem to be able to stop it. Anything to say on that one, Mr. Pickerill?
No, you're absolutely right. It's hardly a week goes by that you don't see somebody getting trolled by another club, or you see the referees getting trolled or whatever. It's not just sport, though, is it really?
No, it's not.
Politics, every walk of life, it's just we're connected with football and sport and...
And that's where we see it.
Yeah. You just think, so what? I mean, it always used to make me laugh with some of the clubs when they said, I don't know why so-and-so turned up last night. They might as well come in a taxi. Well, instead of taking the mickey out of the five diehards that made the 200-mile trip on a Tuesday night, why weren't they applauded that they made the 200-mile trip to see a team that have lost 12 on the trot or something? You know, it's...
In my word, if you can't say anything positive, shut up and put your name to it as well. Right, lots of choices of football this weekend, locally and not quite so locally.
know, there's big choices for you for your football fix this Saturday. The UCL playoff final takes place at the YMCA even, while the Northern Counties East League semi-finals see Beverley Town play Retford United. That's at Winterton Rovers, or Sharbrook will be playing Wakefield at Parkgate. If you fancy travelling a bit further, Falmouth host Clevedon in the Western final, while in the North East, Withenshaw play AFC Bury.
That's a good one. I don't know if you've seen that about Bury.
Yeah. Why have we only been given 230 tickets? Well, because it's our ground, we finished above you. We can only safely accommodate 230.
But it's also what the Bury fans are threatening to do on the day, isn't it, as well? And this is, what I was saying. You know, playoffs, it brings out the worst in people, and B, social media, what's being said is absolutely shocking. Withenshaw Town finished above Bury Town. They should play it out. That's the system. Don't whinge if you finish third in the table with all the resources that you've got.
Yeah, it made me laugh that this morning Bury put a post on saying we were expecting to get 700 tickets. The ground only holds 1,400, so they're expecting to get half of the gate. Who do they think they are?
Yeah,
it's Billy Big something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it looks like Eastern County side Thetford United are the latest club to fall foul of the FA whole game system after they were thrown out of the playoffs for playing a suspended player. Anstey Nomads will make it back-to-back promotions if they beat Harbour Town at Cropston Road. That's quite an achievement.
I mean, well done to Anstey. I mean, Anstey could have been in your
team of season, yeah.
It looks like, from what I can read about Thetford, they have signed somebody. And like we said last week, on the FA whole game system, you can have the same player loaded on there innumerable times. Because if his name was Joseph, he could be called Joseph, Joe, Joey. And the FA would let you put it on every single time. And it looks like another poor, unsuspecting secretary has fallen foul of somebody who was signed on by another club in the past under a different name. The FA whole game system. I've said it before, I'll say it again, sponsored by Fujitsu.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? We've seen lots of incidents over the years where secretaries have brought something to the attention of the FA. As you exactly say, Joseph is known as Joe to one people and then goes to the new club. Oh, I'm Joey. Goes on and the new club say, well, there's something wrong here. You've got three fan numbers, and the FA jump on the third club that actually finds the error. But there you go.
Yeah, and it's all that secretary's fault. Right, carry on doing the awards. The strugglers, and I tell you what, Max, if you think Alderton had a bad season, listen to the winner.
Well, in third place, Cornish side Grand Pound, one victory all season, 9 goals scored and over 100 conceded. Second place, Ollerton Town, 4 points, but over 200 conceded. But the clear winner is Sturminster Marshall, 30 matches, 30 defeats, goals for 10 and 301 conceded. But again, they turned up.
Yeah, and now thanks to Rob Orby for finding us Sturminster Marshall, which we've religiously followed all season, and hopefully we'll get to talk to him at some stage. But, you know, 30 games and you scored 10 goals in 30 games and conceded 301. That is, that's hell of a season, Max.
Yeah, I'm sure Liam will like the fact that they didn't win that one. That's one positive for him.
Yeah, knocked off top spot on that one. Right, our final look is at some of the Step 5 clubs that's fairly local to ourselves. That's Nilgan Sherwood, Sleaford Town, Boston Town and Lincoln. Nilgan Sherwood, I'm going to keep David out of because he's got a vested interest. I don't want him saying the wrong things. We'll come back to them. Sleaford Town, though, David, I think I will let you talk about.
Well, at the beginning of the season, you asked me for some predictions, which I'm surprised you haven't brought up, actually.
Like that?
Oh, it might be because I've said Bourne would win the Division 1. I thought Sleaford would. I thought Sleaford would probably go through the playoffs, but they haven't done for whatever reason. But as Max said, you look at the table, they're only actually ended at 1 point outside that, so... And in fairness, they won 2 games more than Skegness Town, who finished a point above them. I think they will probably be disappointed with that. Sadly for the club, Dean is stepping down as chairman. He's done his 3-year stint as part of their plan. I'd not look to see if they've got anybody else lined up. It'd be interesting to see how the club move forward. Sort of Jamie was very honest when he came to talk to us 5 years ago, was it, 4 years ago, and said, this is our clear plan. This is how we're going to do it. Dean took over the reins after Nigel, and Dean has kept the club going in a positive trajectory. So, let's see how it ends up in the long run.
Max, Lincoln United. David and I differ on Lincoln United. I think their season just went into meltdown, and they will look back at this season as a disappointing one. David, on the other hand, says, you know, playoffs, trophy, Vars semi-final, it's a good season. Where do you sit on it?
It's another one a bit like Clipston, where it's so close to being the perfect season, but then at the very important moment, it's all gone terribly wrong. It would be interesting if they weren't in the Vars to see if they'd have done any better in the league, because obviously they were winning it for a long time. And as soon as the Vars came along as a distraction, they were resting players and they were not playing their strongest lineup, and they were losing games that they should win, which basically gifted Sherwood Colliery the title in the end, because they were hoping to make it to Wembley. So to then not make it to Wembley, it's all been a bit of a very disappointing ending from what it could have been. If there was no FA Vars, they probably would go on and win that league. So they've got to be disappointed. Looking into next season, I mean, I'm not sure. Obviously, you don't know who's going to come down into that league, but they've got to go into it as favourites again. It's another club we like visiting. It's a great ground, especially now for a step five level. So yeah, best of luck for them. But they're another club. The manager's stepped down, hasn't he? So there seems to be a lot of that recently. Manager and chairman.
Yeah.
So who knows really what it's going to be like next season? It could be completely different
to where that's going. And that leaves Boston Town and Newark and Sherwood United. Boston Town had a good second half of the season, the second half of the season that would expect that club to have. First half of the season, it wasn't there, but they kept the same group together. They said the management team stayed the same, and they got it together. So in the end, they had a relatively good season. Newark and Sherwood United won the Notts Senior Cup last season. And then that's in my opinion, straight after that, where it went wrong. They allowed players to leave the club. They can't stop players from leaving the club, but they let players leave in the club that scored them an awful lot of goals. They didn't replace them. They sat back when it wasn't working on the field, when it wasn't working on the field, and they left it, almost until the extent that it was too late and the club was banging a relegation battle on the door. They changed the management, and as so often happens, the players clicked and they went on a 10-11 game unbeaten run and respectively finished mid-table. But it could and should have been so much better. Is that your take, Max?
I think you've pretty much hit the nail on the head. I remember speaking to you at the Lincoln United game against Newark and Sherwood, where that's one where Lincoln United were resting their players and Newark played well and beat them comfortably. You said to me that not much player-wise had changed between management. It was a couple of additions, but the results completely changed. You thought it was a new squad. So obviously something's changed there, whether the previous manager wasn't quite up to it. I mean, he was a nice enough guy, but I think it proves that, like you say, it was far too late. If they'd made that change 3 months earlier, you're looking at a playoff push.
If that change had been made in October, that club would have been in the playoffs. I think
the good news is it has changed, and now it's a positive way to end the season looking into next year. Obviously, it's all big change at the club with the new ground, and there's a lot of ifs and buts of how how that will go. Will crowds follow? Will the results stay as good as they are? Will the players want to travel to Harrogate? Lots of different things that we don't know until it happens. It will definitely be an interesting watch to see how that goes. And then also the big thing with Newark and Sherwood is, are they actually going to get a ground back in Newark anytime soon? Because the longer they're playing at Collingham, Harrowby, Basford, it's not going to last forever. People won't follow them.
No, they won't.
All over the country. So that needs to be sorted sooner rather than later before it just dies, I guess, in a sad...
Well, yeah.
To put it bluntly.
Exactly. You've hit the nail well and truly on the head. I wasn't going to let you talk about Newark and Sherwood, David, but if you want to pass a comment...
No, I can't disagree with anything you said. I think you probably hit the nail on the head, Max, earlier on. Jonathan was probably too nice. Probably took the role on when perhaps wasn't ready for it. Looking at the results over the whole season, up till Christmas, there was only one really big defeat, which was the away defeat at Melton. Melton's first two goals, I will keep saying this, I defy any of the clubs in the league to have defended them. Then a very dubious penalty just before half-time. You go in at three down and the damage is done. There was a few performances, though, when they should have won and they didn't. A couple of times, teams were put to the sword for the first 20 minutes and then a sort of big, a decent lead was overcome or caught up. I don't know. They weren't quite competitive enough, were they? Certainly after the change round, they suddenly became hard to beat and were suddenly giving teams that they should have beaten a good run for the money, even if they weren't beating them. As you say, 9-10 unbeaten, was it? Something like that. If you don't get beaten, you get picking up a minimum of a point, aren't you? So you'd have still picked up more than you did in the first half of the season if you'd have drawn them all. We saw the last game of the season, a 4-0 defeat at Sherwood Colliery, the champions. You were at that game, Mick. They knew it weren't 4-0 bad, were they, at that game? Actually, Sherwood were far better. Newark were good for the first 20 minutes, and then Sherwood just worked out how to take them on their own game and capitalised on every mistake.
I think the wind was a big point in that one. I think Newark and Sherwood, in a nutshell, it was naivety last summer and it was naivety when the change wasn't made. And let's just hope lessons are learnt from both of them. Simple as that. Mm. Right, the last news desk of the season, totally locally-ish.
Shirebrooks Town's chairman stood down 5 days before his club reached the Northern Counties East League playoffs, citing problems, the social club as his main area of concern. That was followed by the league announcing that both the playoff semi-finals would be played on neutral grounds, mainly because Shirebrooks Social Club was unavailable due to a wedding booking. Lincoln United's manager and chairman have both stepped down after the club's poor end to the season. More news on the United Counties League Cup final. Saffron Dynamo's appeal to the FA failed. Wellingborough thrashed Ashby in the rearranged semi-final, and they will now play Skegness on Bank Holiday Monday at Harrowby.
And around the country?
We told you last week that once again the Notts Senior Cup final was being held on a Step 5 ground, where up in the northeast they do it properly. The final on the hallowed turf of St James's Park and Blythe Town have created history by becoming the first Step 6 side even to reach that final. Unsurprisingly, Michelover lost their appeal against a 12-point deduction and dropped from second to sixth in the Southern League. 4 days later, their management team left the club. Step 4, Loughborough Dynamo are taking voluntary relegation to what they call grassroots football. To say the supporters are not impressed is an understatement. AFC Rushden and Diamonds left their match thinking they'd been relegated. By the time they got home, they hadn't done, and they went on and won the Northamptonshire Senior Cup this week. So,
of course, I mean, that's all the Russian Diamonds thing is a consequence of Loughborough Dynamo's decision.
Yes.
From step four to, we assume, step seven.
I think so, because I'm trying to think of a precedent.
Well, it should be step six, shouldn't it? Because the FA would knock them down two divisions.
Yes.
But they have said grassroots football. They're even talking about
League, yeah.
Yeah, they're even talking about Sunday football.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is happening at Rough Dynamo? It's just unbelievable. And talking of what the hell is happening, before Admiral Pickerill goes off on his boat, his favourite team, Bashley, of course, from the New Forest, It's all gone a bit tits up, David.
Good nautical term there, Mr. Bradley. Yeah, we knew Paul Lucas said that he didn't think he could take the club any further, was stepping down. And Ollie Cherrett, the manager, has decided that he's going to move on. So I think from what he cited was he that there are people in mind to take over. And I think, and I don't know who this is, I've not even heard the rumours, and I think Ollie has seen who it is or knows who he thinks it is and has decided that he can't work with them or won't be able to work with them. So at that point, I shall move on and look elsewhere. So, yeah, a little bit more uncertainty, but at least the club are still existing. Go back sort of 2012 to 2016. It was a very uncertain time. So,
you see, and you all thought he supported Nugent Shield United. He doesn't. Right, below the pyramid.
Amongst the latest batch of clubs that can look forward to pyramid football are the University of Exeter, Darlington Town, and Magill, who are going into the West Cheshire area.
Okay, right. We normally do, when we have a guest on the show, the most memorable day out. Overall, not this season, any season, what is your most memorable footballing day out? We haven't told Max we're going to ask him that question, but we are asking him that question. Max, your most memorable footballing day out ever?
I mean, you've killed me with that one.
Yes!
That was the plan.
The first one that comes to mind straight away, which isn't, it won't be the best ever, but it's the best this season. And again, it's nothing to do with the football. It was this season we went to Sleaford to go and watch Newark and Sherwood. I think it was a terrible game. I can't even remember the score. It was maybe 1-0 to Sleaford.
1-0 to Sleaford, yeah.
Yeah. But the best part of that was we got into Sleaford, went to a couple of pubs, thought we'd wander down towards the ground nice and early to get some food and stuff. And between the ground and the town, there was a massive park, and in there was Sleaford Oktoberfest was taking place. So in there we went, £5 entry, German beer steins, there was umpire bands on the stage, there was fairground rides, there was dancing. And yeah, we almost, I had to drag Emma away to actually go and see the football.
Is that why you turned up in lederhosen then? It was such a passing.
No one's supposed to know about that. No. Yeah, so then we ended up, we went back afterwards, went there again, some more beer, forgot all about the game, had to remember for the blog the next day what had actually happened. But as far as ground hopping and our blog goes, days like that is the reason we started it. We'd never go to Sleaford without ground hopping. We'd probably never go back. But to go and have a day like that that's completely random and unexpected, that's what we enjoy about it the most. It's going to random places that, like you say, I mean, obviously I didn't know about Sleaford, but I would never go there. We went there and yeah, we had the best day of the season just by a complete fluke. And it's something that we'll always remember. And yeah, without Emma's ground guide, we'd never have done it. So yeah,
I mean, that's brilliant, because that leads me on to one of Mr. Pickerel's favourite comments, which is, David?
Never let the football spoil your day up, the football.
There you go.
And it's funny, isn't it, Mick, actually? The first time I think I dragged you ground hopping was probably to Sleaford. We went one Wednesday night to watch him play Skegness, and I think you kind of got it that night, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, but I still can't see... I still can't get worked up about going to watch two teams or don't know anything about. But hey, if people like that sort of thing, why not? Max, we've come to the end of the show. What we want to do is, assuming that you are available, is when we start up in August again, to come back as the first guest of the new season and to carry on this conversation, because we can't talk about the new season, who's in what, because we don't actually know yet. There's a lot of projections out. If you look at the United Counties South League, Atherston, Highgate, Starport, Swifts are in it, which it is amazing, really, because I've been to Starport. It's one of the grounds I've been to, and it's a hell of a long way from Newark. I hate to think that how far it is from Skegness or Boston. And the projection for the North League shows Godman, Chester Rovers, Marchtown, and Yaxley. And David, that is a throwback to the United Counties of old.
It is. It's a very strange one. A couple of seasons ago, Holbeach was saying, well, when we joined this league, it was basically a few Lincolnshire, a few mainly Huntingdonshire area, Peterborough, some Northampton and a bit of Leicester. And it seems to, the Northern Division seems to go across the motorway now and into, well, into Derbyshire and scoop them up. But then suddenly these suggestions of the three teams, they're all what you would call United Counties teams, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, for Lincoln United are further north than Newark, but God, Manchester, well, that's Cambridgeshire, isn't it? Yaxley, is that Peterborough? And who was the other team? Oh, Marchtown. They're all long days out, aren't they? Particularly if you're going, say, from Belper, or you're going from Shirebrook, or you're going from...
Well, God, Manchester on the outskirts of Huntingdon. So for us, it's an hour-ish straight down the A1, but from Skegness. Oh, I would have thought that was a hell of a travel. Max, so will you come back in August?
I suppose so.
Will you be allowed?
I've been all right today.
You passed muster for today, just about. So then we'll be able to look at who's in what and make some of our own predictions to how the season goes on. So that's us finished for season three. David will tell you that we have had so many guests in so many shows.
Yeah, well, this will be the 37th episode this season, and Max is the 27th different guest. So thank you to everybody like yourself, Max, that's turned up, spoken honestly, been a very interesting selection again. They've all drawn different plaudits for different reasons. Some have been unexpected, I guess, to what you're expecting. And thank you to everybody that's interacted with us this season as well, that's sent us their pictures, sent us their memories, and people that have just commented on stuff they've heard. So that's why we do it.
It is, and that's what it's all about. So we're off now for what, a couple of months, 3 months? I don't know.
Season starts in about 3 weeks, doesn't it?
You're off to the luxury yacht on the Solent. Now you'll be able to see David. He'll appear sometime on Saving Lives at Sea. He's the one with the white ear that's flapping about in the sea with his yacht upside down in Solent. So that's where you'll find David.
The fantasy world of Mick. This is what senility does to you guys when you retire.
Max has got a massively big summer coming up because he's got to arrange his stag week, which I believe it is for 5 days and they're going to Crewe. So I'm sure that you'll find something to do in Crewe for 5 days. And for the one of you that's going on his stag week, the best of luck to you. Me, I shall be here because I'm only poor pensioner, of course. And if I'm lucky, I might get to Skeggy for a day, but that's as good as it's going to get for me. So from Admiral Pickerel, from the lover boy himself, who's passionately in love, at least until October, and the poor old pensioner, we'll see you next season.